we're in this Thanksgiving season, I also asked you to get a pen. I want to give you a statement, and I want you to write it down. I want you to write this statement down, because I believe that is going to speak to a number of you as you're in this Thanksgiving season. It will speak to you in some different ways. Perhaps this morning it will not make much sense, but after, and perhaps if you write it down and look at it throughout the week, it may make a little bit more sense to you as you look at it a little bit later on. The more you have, the more you have, the less grateful you are. The more you have, the less grateful you are. Then you begin to believe you deserve it. You deserve it. Then you believe you need it. Then you believe you need it. Then you begin to demand it. Then you begin to demand it. So let me go through it again. The more you have, the less grateful you are. Then you begin to believe you deserve it. Then you believe you need it. Then you begin to demand it. Last week, as we looked at the 10 leopards, and we discovered that only one came back to say thanks, and was a foreigner. We talked about that being a Samaritan. That 9 went on their way after they were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We discovered that this ungratefulness has been around a really long time. It's not something that is modern. It's not something that we have kind of come up with, but it's been around a long, long time. An ungrateful spirit. We learned last week that the thankful person is the exception rather than the rule. A thankful person is the exception rather than the rule. So the question is, do you want to be the exception to the rule this morning? Do you want to be the exception to the rule? Life has a way of hitting us sometimes extremely difficult. Sometimes it hits us in such a way that we didn't see it coming. No cause of our own. And it just knocks us flat. And it's, what do we do in those times when we're knocked flat? Do we continue to trust? Do we continue to lean on the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, for those of you that know Jesus in a personal way? Or do you and I become bitter and soured and eventually walking away from the Lord because we feel that he's unfair, that he's treated us in an unfair way because of the circumstance that we're in or because of the circumstances that we are experiencing? And without the realization, we can become a group of ungrateful, unthankful people. Though we've never had leprosy, though we've never really had a disease, but we do have this disease of an ungrateful heart. Human nature is such that every day is an interesting challenge, is it not? We wish all we could all have great days. We all wish Psalm 100 would be a part of our lives. For example, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." As we just sung, enter his thanksgiving, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. That song is based on this particular psalm, Psalm 100. As the psalmist is trying to communicate, to be mindful of the greatness and the holiness of God and how vast and great that he is. So this scripture reminds me of two things this morning. Two things that are even incredibly important for the body of Christ. For those of you who are developing disciples. For those of you who maybe have knelt, or you've knelt inside your heart. You've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And life is really going well for you. The majority of you can say that. And then there's the other half. Majority of those of you are here today. That life isn't going too well. Matter of fact, if you had your, you could just check it out. Meaning that you would check yourself out, not doing anything harmful to yourself, but you just check out of life. You'd like to, life to go on, and you not want to be very engaging with people. And this particular scripture, I shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. This scripture reminds me of two things that would help you and will help me to give him praise, to give him thanksgiving. The first thing we see, as the scripture reminds us, we can praise God by recognizing who he is. By recognizing who he is. Now, for the atheists among us today, you would say that there is no God. For the agnostics, you're not really sure. For those of us who do know, only because of the Holy Spirit of God, there is a living God. Well, I just don't believe all that kind of stuff. Well, you're going against all your history, if you will. The earth had to start somewhere. And I kind of like the bang theory. God banged it. Now, for those of you that think of a more complicated system, I understand we're not going to get into that. But God banged it. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it. He is God. Now I want you to think about what he did. We can praise him for who he is. He's the living God. He is somebody that holds everything in its place. If we were off of the axis of the earth, we would either freeze to death or we'd be burned up. If we were not exact distance from the sun, there'd be all kinds of problems. If we were not wobbling at this certain speed, at a certain way, we would go out into orbit, and there'd be no gravity at all. Can you imagine having worship service with no gravity? People are bopping up off the walls. Young people like that, going up and hitting the ceiling and come back down. They'd love that, to have worship without gravity. That's why it's interesting, these services, the churches are called the gravity church. I just thought they have no gravity in their church. Anyway, can you imagine? We are talking about who he is. He is the invincible God. He is the great I am. And the amazing thing about that is that the great I am cares for you. No, he doesn't. Well, if he really cared, my life wouldn't be bad. But wait a minute. Wait a minute before you go anywhere. You said your life is bad. But wait a minute, you missed something. You got life. You see what I said? You got life. God made you. He made you unique. There is no one else like you. When he made you in the form of the DNA, he then broke it up. You are uniquely wired, unique in God's splendor and God's power. Because of who he is, he made us. He is light, and in him there is no darkness. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the King of all glory, the Lord of all. You're in Psalm there, and I want you to go left. I know many of you this morning got up this morning and said, man, I can't wait to get in 2 Samuel. Man, I've been wanting to study 2 Samuel. I can't wait to get in 2 Samuel. So go left and go to 2 Samuel. Go left in Psalms and go to 2 Samuel. You'll see Kings. Right after Kings, you'll see 2 Samuel. And you'll see chapter 22. Chapter 22, they have some verses that are absolutely incredible. And sometimes we don't read the Old Testament because of all the things that are going on, but the Old Testament is full of hidden jewels. Jewels particularly talking about how awesome God is. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, the writer writes, "You are my lamp, O God, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light." Please listen. For those of you that are struggling, for those of you that are on the precipice of going into some type of deep depression, listen. The Lord God cares for you. The Lord God loves you. He can turn your darkness into light. He's not going to get rid of the darkness that's around you, maybe, but he'll turn it. Because we're in this game called life. And life has ups and downs and in-betweens. But he'll turn your darkness into light. This was written years and years and years before the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Look what he writes in verse 30. "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord," look at this, "the word of the Lord is flawless." Before the Bible ever became the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God is recording through the writer here, the word of the Lord is perfect, is flawless. Verse 31, it says, "He is a shield, and all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me rather with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me shield of victory. You scoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles will not turn." Look at the personal nature in the Old Testament. When a lot of people think that the Old Testament is impersonal, it becomes very personal in nature. Years before the personal relationship with the Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for who he is. Someone look up for me 1 John 1:5 and raise your hand when you have it. Someone look up John 3:19 and raise your hand when you have it. Someone look up 1 Peter 2:9. Raise your hand when you have it. What do you got, John? You stand up, please. Who's got 1 John 1:5? Who's got 1 John 1:5? Hello.
Hello out there. How you doing? Thank you, Bobby.
All right, who's got 2 Peter 2:9? Okay, Rebecca, stand. Okay, let's go with 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:9. Let's go with 1 John 1:5. Go and read it. Read it nice and loud. All right, stop. Now, in Samuel, years before the writer of 1 John, now watch this now. Watch. Listen to what Samuel writes. Samuel writes, "The word of the Lord is flawless." And then years after that writing, hear 1 John again. Go ahead, Bobby. His word is perfect. Thank you, Bob. Who's got John 3:19? Okay, according to that scripture, what does mankind love? Congregation? Darkness. And who is light? Jesus is light. God is light. God created the world and said, let there be light. And what was there? Light. I say, let there be light. Nothing happens. Matter of fact, I come home and says, let this, nothing still happens. But anyway, that's another story for another day. All right, well, I'll be getting in trouble here in a moment. Here we go. Rebecca, 1 Peter 2:9. All right, go read it again. Now, for those of you who have bent a knee, focus. You have bended your knee. You have bended your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the scripture, that is what? Flawless. That is what? Perfect. The word of God says that you are a people belonging to whom? Belonging to God. And he's called you, and you and I love what? You and I love what? You and I love what? But he's called you out of darkness into what?
Light.
Read it again. Okay, thank you, Rebecca. Now, some of you say, wait a minute, okay, I want to praise God by recognizing who he is, but wait a minute, if God is so powerful, why is there darkness? Someone asked me that. Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Because that's the way he wanted it. What? When you're God, what can you do? Anything. You may say, well, if I were God, well, number one, you're not. Okay? I have that problem all the time with God. If I was you, yeah, but you're not. So think about it this way. Think about it from God's point of view. God loves humanity that he made humanity. And he wanted to give humanity something very different than anything else in all creation. So what's he give humanity? He gives humanity a brain and a heart and a body and the ability to say yes and the ability to say what? No. It's called what it's called. It's called free will. Okay? All right, now, free will is really important because if you can force somebody to do something, you're really not, you're just forcing them, right? For example, anybody got any money? I need some cash. I need some cash. John, you got some cash? Now, I'm embarrassing him. Bobby, you got some cash? Let me see the cash. Come on. No, don't give me $1 bills. Do you have any money, Jude? Ethan, do you have any money? Okay, here's a 20. No, let me have all of it. All right, man, look at this. Man, I have racked up. He's having a heart attack over there. Man, now I just got $100. No trading. Oh, I'll whop me 20. Yeah, I need 100, man. Okay, yeah, some people are just rich. You know, poor John, what in the world is he going to do here? He's not going to give my $100 away. Is this on stewardship? No, I'm not stewardship yet. So when you come on stewardship, nobody's going to be coming with any cash the month of January. I already told you when I'm preaching on stewardship, right? And what happens on stewardship month? Grace, you know what happens on stewardship month? Nobody comes. They know exactly what I'm preaching on, so they don't come. They hear the first week, and then the next 3 weeks, no one's around. Why do you announce it? Well, I want to tell them in advance. So John's not going to bring any money. Now, I just made John to give me honor. Matter of fact, I took it. Did you see what? Amy. Amy's ready to just, what? Just now, I took it. Did he give it to me out of love? I just took it. I asked it and took it. Now, what if God was like that? What if God was like what I just did? What if God did that to you? What if God just takes it from you? John's saying, will you please give me that $100 back? Give John a hand, giving up $100. All right.
He was nervous, Bob. He was nervous, man. He was wondering getting that $100. Now, what if God did that to you? What if God just came and you had something and he just took it from you? And you never got it back. You would say, well, he's not very loving. He's not very caring. Enter the free will. Enter the free will. What? You see, God wants you to freely love him or freely serve him or freely give to him out of what? Your heart. He does not want to snatch it from you. Yeah, but wait a minute. Jesus died. He died why? He died because he loved humanity. Does Jesus force anyone? Does he force anyone to accept him? No. Now, that's crazy, right? That's crazy. He had all this quality with God, something grass, and he let it go, and he died on the cross, and he gives humanity the choice. Praise God for who he is. You see what I'm talking about? He's an incredible God. He's not the God of Muslims. He's not the God of Hindu. He's the living God. The God that made humanity and gave a free will. Let's go on to number two, because we want to get to number three here in just a moment. Praise God for recognizing who he is. Praise God by recognizing what he has done. Wow. Could we not be here all day? Right? Could we not be here all day? The passage of scripture that I've used in funerals, over 100 funerals, every funeral I've ever had the privilege of doing, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, this passage of scripture I have used. Very rarely do I communicate it on a Sunday morning. I should do a better job communicating on a Sunday morning, because Romans chapter 8 has some incredible deep truths to teach us. So go to Romans 8, if you will. Romans 8, you're in Samuel. Now go back all the way to the right. You get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Romans should come up right after that. If you're in 2 Corinthians, you're too far right. Go back left a little bit. And go Romans chapter 8. And listen to this. Praise God by recognizing what he has done. My goodness gracious. God is spirit. But he revealed himself through the personage of a person called whom? Jesus Christ. Watch this now. God, if you get this, God has a personal name. What is God's personal name? Yes, God's personal name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is what? Jesus is God, one and the same. Wait, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it. You just have to believe it. And you believe a whole lot more other things. You go to Chick-fil-A, you go to McDonald's, you go to Wendy's. Now watch this now. And you believe they're not going to put anything in your french fries. You believe they're not going to put anything in your peppermint shake. You believe they're not going to mess around with your hamburger or your piece of chicken. You have faith. So don't sit there in some pugness of yourself and say, I can't believe that. You have faith all of the time. You just don't want to believe what I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. You don't want to believe that Jesus is God, because you've already set up on what God should do or should not have already done in your life. Hello. Now, why do you think that way? Let's go back. Why? Free will. You see? This is crazy. God gives you the free will to bless him or curse him. If I was God, I would not have done that. I probably would have made all of humanity to bless my name all the time. Amen? How many of you feel the same way? Yeah, it makes sense. Right, Darren? It makes sense. Just two of us, just Darren and I. It makes sense. But God's love, he doesn't want to take. He wants to receive from you. So here we got this Romans passage of scripture, chapter 8. Look with me, verse 35. Listen to this. Who, Who should separate us from the love of Christ? And look at these things: trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Some pretty hard things, right? Those things will separate us from the love of Christ. No, they won't. Because the scripture says in verse 36, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Get this next verse. No, in all these things we are, that great song, we are more than conquerors. I wish I could sing it, that new song. What's that new song by? Tell me again. Cindy, we're more than conquerors. Who sings it? Stephen Curran Chapman, man. It's going to be at, that's one of the many songs that are going to be at my funeral. So if I die in the near future, come for a while. If you come, you know, you don't have to come. Won't matter difference to me because I'll be in heaven, you know. Remember, funerals are for the living, okay? And you need to come. So I'm trying to get you to come to my funeral even though I won't be here. But some of you are thinking, so are you going to come back and give us a sermon right before you die? I mean, are you going to come up here and have a little thing? I'm thinking about it. I am. Something my daughter said, no way. And the reason why I would do it is because I got lost family. Now, I'm not saying my family would come from New Jersey. I don't know if they would or not. Most of them are lost. But if I do come back, it's for them to hear what? The gospel of Jesus Christ just one more time. Am I crazy enough to do that? Yes, I am. So, I may or may not. Anyway, let's get back. I'm sorry. So it says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loved us. Look at verse 38. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love, he predestined his love, meaning that he will never, ever, ever stop loving you, even when you give him the finger, even when you give whatever you give, he still is going to love you. No human being can match his love. He loves you. He's given us a home in heaven. He's given us eternal life. Now there's some things that you need to understand. So we're going to go from Romans and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians so we can have some understanding, a little bit more understanding of the developing disciples of what he's given us. He just not give us Jesus, but 40 days he came, he hung out on the earth, and then he went up away and he says, hey, I'm going to send whom? I'm going to send a comforter, a paraclete. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, the scriptures read, now the word of God is what? Word of God is perfect. It's flawless. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Paul's writing to the Corinth church. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble worth. Meaning, he's writing this to believers who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, many of you were a bunch of nobodies. But because of the somebody, Jesus, coming in your life, he changed everything about you. Amen? He changes everything about your life. So he says here, verse 27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. How many say amen? How many of you feel foolish? Amen. How many act foolish? Amen. How many are foolish? Amen. Others of you, it'll be an offering. There'll be a time of invitation. You need to come down and get right with the Lord because you've just lied. All of you ought to be foolish. Amen. Because when you're foolish, you're dependent upon whom? The unfoolish one, the Lord God himself. Does that make sense? Here we go. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Look at verse 28. He chose the lovely things of the world and the despised things and the things are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. This is, his plan is so smart. It's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as written, let him boast in the Lord. This gospel makes sense, right? If you and I could get to heaven on our own, what would we tell everybody? I'm going to heaven on my own. Because we're boastful people. Just because my grandchildren are here, and my daughters are here, and son-in-law, the best family in the whole universe, I mean, I'm not boasting. There is just a great tendency within our nature to boast. We take pride in things. So, if we could get to heaven, imagine how prideful we'd be. So what does God, in his infinite mercy, says, nope, check it, I'm going to give you free will. I know what you're going to do with free will. You're going to choose not to be holy. But I'm going to send a Savior. And he's going to die on the cross. I'm going to take the equation out of your hand. You have to humble, watch this, you have to humble yourself. That's the problem. What's the problem? What I'm doing. Remember I said a couple weeks ago about the young boy that got disciplined? He was going to go out, stand in the corner. He was going to go and sit in the corner. So goes to the corner, and he says, Mommy, I'm sitting down here, but inside I'm standing up. Okay? So when we talk about humbling ourselves to the Lord, you may have gotten on your knees and accept Christ, but if you've not humbled your heart, if your heart has not become circumcised, has not been cut open by the blood of Jesus and letting Jesus come inside your heart through whom? The Holy Spirit of God. You don't have the Spirit. Hello? You may have said a prayer. You may have gone in the water and gotten wet. But you're not saved. There's no change. See, when your heart gets circumcised, there is change, a continual change. So he gives us a spirit. So you're in 1 Corinthians. Now go to chapter 12 of Corinthians. Now it says about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. And he's writing this, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to moot idols. Verse 3, chapter 12. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. That is why people can't say the name Jesus. That's why believers don't say the name Jesus. They're not saved. Hello? Hello? You can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. Check it out. Try it. Try it with one of the most pagan people you know. Ask him, can you say Jesus is Lord? Can you say it and mean it? I'm not asking you. I'm asking the... I'm role-playing. But you see, watch this now. Some of you won't even say that. You won't even say it to your spouse. You won't even say it to your sons, your daughters, to your grandboys, your granddaughters, your aunts, your uncles. You never say it. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through, and it lists a bunch of gifts. And then look down in verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one. Get the next four words. Just as what? He determines. We in Christianity's got this all wrong, man. We're telling God what he ought to do and what not to do. And meanwhile, the Spirit is saying, I ain't doing anything because of your arrogant heart. Not until you humble your heart, and ask me, the Lord God, what you want me to do. See, we already say, Lord, I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to tithe, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, but God, I want you to do this. You know where your prayers are going with that? They're not going any higher than the ceiling. Because you become arrogant and indifferent to the Holy God of Israel. He is God. We're talking about praising God for what he has done. He has done so much that he would give us, watch this now, he gives us the indwelling of his Spirit. That's why those of you who are developing disciples, you want to say some bad things about me, but you can't. Because the Spirit of God saying, no, no, no. It's a warfare going on. Because you're saved. You know that you ought not gossip. Look to the person on the right and left and say, you ought not to go up gossiping about anybody. Go ahead and say it. Now, for those who've just said it and you've been doing it this week, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to convict you right now. And what you need to do during prayer time or right now, close your eyes, say, Lord, forgive me for gossiping about Cody. Lord, forgive me about gossiping about Jakai. Lord, forgive me about gossiping about Beth. I'm just kind of picking names out, okay? I'm not trying to offend. I'm just picking names out. What gives you the right to gossip about somebody? If you can't talk to them front on, you ought to just keep your mouth closed. You ought to keep your mouth closed? You ought to keep your mouth closed? Okay, now. All right, real quickly. Now, list the blessings that the Lord has given you. Now look there. I put them in six categories. There's the personal blessings. For example, I'm going to give you an example in each one. For example, my personal blessing is knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It is for me the greatest blessing in my life. There is for me. Then we go to the family blessings. I was visiting Grace Wills. Grace Wills is a great person. She's 92 years old. She's the mother of Cheryl Leaker. And she just recently had a birthday. And she messes with me. And she's from the north, so we have a good time. And I saw her this week. And she got a great mind. She looks at me. And she says, Pastor, is Cindy still with you? I mean, just great. Just absolutely great. And some of you are still answering that too. Why is she still with you? But anyway, yes, Miss Grace. And we laughed. We laughed. I said, yes, I have a wife that still loves me. 38 years and counting. I got two precious daughters. I got a great son-in-law. He's great because he's my only son-in-law. So he's great right now. Amen. He's great. And he's the best. Now, Miss Beth doesn't ever say that about me, but anyway, I have great-grandsons. I got three great-grandsons. Two of them are here today, okay? So that is family blessings. Number three, financial blessings. And when I checked out this morning, I was still pastor. Now, that may cease at the end of this day, don't know. But that is a financial blessing. I get supported by the church. I have a job. Well, when I need money, I just go to John and ask him for it. Amen? I got money in my pocket, you know? And John's got some money if you need it too, by the way. Okay? I mean, I got a job. Church blessings. Hey. This family of Westside cares. They actually care, don't they, Miss Grace? How about it, Miss Grace? Do they care? Absolutely. This body of believers care. If they know that you're hurting, if they know that they can be assistants, they rally around you. It is a great blessing. Number five, friendship blessings. For those of you who may have one friend. Now, if you're a young person or single, you're still navigating that. But if you have one friend that he or she is stuck by your side through thick and thin, that is a friendship blessing. Others of you, because of your personality, you have many. You have many people that aren't your friends. And number six, possessional blessings. I have a home. I have a car. I got a cell phone. I got a chair. Now some of you say, what? You're laughing. Let me read this again. The more you have, the less grateful you are. Then you begin to believe that you deserve it. And then you believe you need it. Then you begin to demand it. You see, Thanksgiving is a time of remembering how thankful that we ought to be. We live, for those of you who call themselves Americans, this is the greatest country. You have great freedom. You can vote for whoever you want. You can choose to pay taxes and not pay taxes. That's what the House of Representatives and Congress do. So why don't you go ahead and get along with it too? Now you may get caught sooner than they get caught. But you understand what I'm trying to say. We are blessed. We are blessed. Tonight when we come to this Thanksgiving meal, blessed that you have that opportunity. There are hundreds and thousands, millions of people will not be exposed to what we'll have tonight. It's not about you, it's about us and the blessings of God that's given us. So you and I need to be careful about our attitude. You and I need to be mindful of our heart. Because the more that you and I have, the less grateful that you and I can become. And everybody deserves us. Everybody owes us something. Why? Why do we have that mentality? We ought not to have it. To recite all the blessings that God has given us and to express our thanks to Him creates a daily attitude of humility and dependency. Every day I attempt to thank God for my salvation experience. Every single day I thank God for saving me in kitchen dorm and transforming my life. Because without Jesus, I am nothing. Nothing. So I want to remind you to list some of the blessings and be thinking about it. You say, well, I don't know. Well, ask the Lord to help you with it. Ask Him to guide you with it. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, children, what happens in life is life can change so very quickly. And when life changes, things happen. And when life hits so quickly and changes, you become aware of how blessed you were before the change occurred. Be thankful for what you have right now. Even those of you that the odds are against you. Inside, wow, struggling. Run to Him. Cry out to Him. Keep on going to Him. Because He can handle it. We can praise God for who He is. My goodness, can we praise Him for what He has done and what He will continue to do in each one of our lives. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment? For some of you this morning, someone has cared enough about you recently to share with you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are intrigued by it, and the Spirit is calling you to Himself right now. And literally, it may sound like this on the inside, but a little bit softer. The Holy Spirit could be just knocking at your heart and saying, "Would you let me come in?" Now, He doesn't come in unless you invite Him. Jesus said, repent and believe. So what you have to do is you have to repent. You have to repent of your utter dependency upon yourself and that you need Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus Christ, just Jesus. With whatever belief you have right where you are, He will send His Spirit to come inside if you say a prayer meeting of repentance and of faith. It's not so much as the words, it's the heart condition. Do you really want Jesus to come in? It's up to you. He loves you no matter if you will ever accept Him or not. He will never, ever, ever stop loving you. But the choice is yours. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I extend that choice to you as one of His representatives. And in a moment, I'm going to have a prayer. And if you would like to ask Jesus to come in, you can do that. If you don't want Him to come in, you do not have to say this prayer. No one can make you accept Jesus. It's always up to you. But if there's anyone in our audience that is ready, you can say this simple prayer just like this. I'm going to repeat it out loud. You repeat it quietly to God. If you want to say it out loud, that's totally up to you. But remember, my prayer is going to be out loud so I can help you and assist you if that is what you'd like. If you're ready to become a disciple of His, you can say this prayer with all your heart. Say something like this. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need Your forgiveness. God, I repent of myself and depending on myself. And Jesus, today, I trust You. Jesus, I believe in You. Would You please come into my heart? In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just pray that prayer, the angels are rejoicing. I would love to rejoice with you in just a moment. I'm going to end this prayer. We're going to stand and sing. And if you just receive Christ, come tell me. Your next step is believer's baptism. We'll talk about that. That won't occur today. But if you just ask Jesus to come inside your heart, come share that with me. It'd be a joy. If the Lord is leading you into this church, you come to me and I help you with that. If you want to come to this altar and pray, of course you can pray where you are. But if you want to come to this altar is always open for anyone who wants to come, kneel, sit, stand, whatever you would like. That's to help you here today. We're here to help you spiritually, to assist you, to guide you. We're the family of God, interested in helping to develop disciples. So you come. Father God, have Your way during this time of invitation. Give courage where courage is needed. In the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Would